Dear Lord, we are so thankful for this opportunity on this evening to be able to close out our week with this gospel meet. Lord, we pray that someone has been listening this week who's been encouraged, who's been edifying. We pray, Lord, for a seeker who's been seeking truth this week, Lord. Pray that something has been said to where they are ready to obey your gospel. We pray, Lord, that Brother Futrell continue to proclaim the gospel as he has. Pray, Lord, that he lets us know the truth about what your word says about the danger of departing from the faith, the one faith that we read about in your Bible. Lord, let you be true and every man a liar. We ask, Lord, that for those listening this evening, that they follow along and be able to read in their Bibles themselves if the things that Brother Futrell will proclaim are so. Lord, we pray that those listening receive your word with meekness. Pray, Lord, that your engrafted word be able to save their souls. Bless us with the increase. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Flunder. We're so thankful to have each and every person on tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're so thankful to have each and every person on, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray now you would open your Bibles, take your pen and paper, and take notes of the things that was to be said by our speaker tonight, and pay particular attention to the things he say as pertaining to the saving of your soul. Many are dying every day. And Jesus said, if you die your sins, William, you can't come. So knowing you're going to die, you want to know what you must do in order to prepare. That's why we are hosting this call. We've been doing it since May. And we have brought men on who know the Bible, can teach it plain and simple. And so you can learn what you must do. Tonight, Brother Mel Futrell preaches for the Shades Mountain Church of Christ in Birmingham, Alabama. He's a great speaker. We've had him on our program before. We're thankful he's joining us again. We are thankful to all the men who have been, I call our repeat defenders. Yeah, so we're thankful to have him on tonight. And he's going to talk to us about our theme has been for this month, what does the Bible say? So what does the Bible say about parting from faith? Brother Mel, tell us that.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and thank you, Brother Anthony. Good evening, brethren, and greetings from the Shades Mountain Church of Christ right here in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm honored to be back with you on this Friday night in the month of August, and to have a part again in the Gospel Meeting Conference Call, in fact, the nationwide Gospel Meeting Conference Call. I was with you last in May, and I enjoyed it very much. I'm honored to be with you again, privileged to be with you again. And I'm honored by your calling in tonight and taking a half hour of your time to join us in this study of God's Word. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in a moment we will begin right there. As Brother Tommy mentioned and Brother Anthony mentioned, our theme tonight, what the Bible says about departing from the faith. I want to say that one more time. We'll come back to it again and again. What the Bible says about departing from the faith. I want to begin very briefly in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. We'll come back to this verse, one or two more times during the course of the evening. And then following this verse, I'd like for us to briefly consider a preview of where I'm headed tonight, give you an idea of the lay of the land, and then we'll look at each point in its proper order. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, again, I'm quoting from the King James Version, here's what Paul said to Timothy in the long ago. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall, get it now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Let me quote that one more time. Circle it, underline it, highlight it, mark it in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. The context goes on from there, but may I add quickly right here, if this were the only verse that we had tonight that touches on our theme of the hour, departing from the faith, brethren and friends, it would be more than enough, but we've got so much more than that. Tonight, I want us to do four things. First, I want to talk about the word faith, just very briefly, about the word faith as it's used in the New Testament, and in particular, how it connects with departing from the faith, a distinction that we'll need to make there momentarily. Second, I'd like to share with you some quotations from religious denominations around the world about apostasy. In these quotations that you'll see in point number two momentarily, you'll recognize immediately that these quotations deny that one can apostatize. They deny that one can depart from the faith. They deny that one can fall from grace. And then in point number three, we'll respond to that. We'll respond by going to the Word of God and asking and answering the question, what does the Bible say about departing from the faith? And we'll camp out there for the bulk of our time. And then finally, number four, in the closing moments of our time together later this evening, what we'll do is I want to suggest to you three ways of keeping yourself in the faith, keeping yourself from departing from the faith. And then we'll offer the invitation of the Lord, and the message of the hour will be yours. I'm going to be moving rather quickly tonight. Are you with me? I know that you are. Here we go now. Point number one, my brethren and my friends. Number one, brethren and friends, the word faith is used in different ways on the pages of the New Testament. Two ways primarily. It is used subjectively and objectively. Let me give you a sampling of both with our focus primarily on the latter. It is used subjectively to refer to one's personal level of belief, of trust, and of understanding. Romans 10 and verse 17 is a perfect example of that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is a subjective use of the word faith. Again, my belief, my trust, my understanding comes from where, dear friend? It comes from the word of God. It doesn't come from the creed of man. It doesn't come from the dogma of this group or that group. It doesn't come from opinion or judgment, but it comes from the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Again, I'm quoting from the King James Version. Follow along in the translation that you have before you. If I may offer one more verse hurriedly here in the subjective category of the word faith. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, James said, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Indeed, James 2:18. How can one not be moved with confidence by that particular verse? But tonight, we are primarily, almost exclusively, focused upon the objective use of the word faith. And therein, you'll see the definite article, the word the, occur before it. The faith. What does the Bible say about departing from the faith? And the objective use of faith refers to the gospel system, to doctrine, the body of doctrine, the truth, the Word of God. And so the question again is, what does the Bible say about departing from the faith, about departing from the gospel system, about departing from the body of doctrine? Permit me to briefly here offer a sampling of passages from the New Testament, very quickly though, that fall into that category, the objective use of the word faith, the faith. Consider these, please, before we move to the second of 4 points tonight under the title of What Does the Bible Say About Departing from the Faith? In the book of Acts, chapter 6 and verse 7, here's what Luke had to say. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were, watch it now, obedient to the faith. Indeed, you know what that is? 10 chapters later, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, the same Luke said, and so the churches were established in the faith. Your translation may read, strengthened in the faith, and increased in number daily. They did what? They were what? They were established. They were strengthened in the faith, in the body of doctrine, in the gospel, in the Word of God. And we want the very same thing today. In Galatians 1, 23 and 24, Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. We'll say more about that with a later point. But here he says, and I quote, Galatians 1, 23 and 24, "But they had heard only," the "they" in context is a reference to the church in Jerusalem. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." What a remarkable statement. The church in Jerusalem recognized this man, Saul, later recognized as Paul, who once persecuted the church, is now doing what, brethren and friends? He is preaching the faith. Back to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, as I indicated in our introduction. There, Paul, the older preacher to Timothy, the younger preacher, says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Again, some shall depart from the faith. And finally, Jude 3, just a sampling of the objective use of faith. Some passages that contain that terminology, that language, the faith, to lay the groundwork for the remainder of our time together this evening. Jude verse 3. Jude, the half-brother of our Lord and the author of the canonical book that bears his name, said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should," you know it, "earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." Point number two, dear brethren and friends. The religious denominational world largely, please get this, I don't say this to be ugly. I don't say this to be unkind. I want to be pointed. I want to be direct, but we want to be loving and kind. The religious denominational world largely denies that one can depart from the faith. They largely deny that one can apostatize. They largely deny that one can err from the truth. They largely deny that one can fall from grace. And the reason for that is because they have bought into, they have swallowed Calvinism, hook, line, and sinker. Calvinism, every tenet of it, stands in stark contrast to the Word of God. It contradicts the Word of God. And in particular, those who have swallowed Calvinism, relating to our issue tonight, have bought into the false idea of perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints is a more technical way of referring to the impossibility of apostasy. Or once saved, always saved. Or once in grace, always in grace. And these are themes, again, that run counter to the Word of God. And thus our theme tonight, and my thanks again to Brother Tommy and Brother Anthony for the selection of the theme and the appointment of that theme to me tonight. And I'm delighted to bring it to your attention and to remind you of these particular matters. I mentioned in our introduction that I had three quotations I want to share with you. And these quotations, mind you, these quotations are not my thoughts about what others think who have adopted Calvinism. They are the actual thoughts of those who have adopted Calvinism. Number one, this is from the Westminster Confession of Faith from the 17th century, although it is still believed, accepted, and promoted. That document says, and I quote, "Under the heading of perseverance of the saints, they whom God has accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally," get this out, "can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved." The second quotation is from a volume titled The 5 Points of Calvinism. I believe this volume was written about 40 years ago, but it is still in print. And the author of this volume says, and I quote, and again, this is something we disagree with, but I want to get their views before you, before we respond with the Word of God. The author of The 5 Points of Calvinism says, and I quote, "Once you believe, you can never be lost. You can never go to hell. It is possible to get your eternal destiny settled once for all so that you never have to worry about it. The term perseverance of the saints emphasizes that Christians will continue believing forever. They will always be saved, end quotation. And the third and final quotation with point number two is taken from a religious and philosophical podcast that I listen to from time to time. In fact, this quotation is from earlier this month, August the 10th of this year, 2020. And the individual who made this statement on the podcast was defining perseverance of the saints. He said, these are his words, and I quote, "Once a person comes to Christ, that the Holy Spirit preserves them, that God keeps them, and that they don't apostatize or lose their salvation." Again, brethren and friends, as we close out point number two, the religious denominational world largely denies that one can depart from the faith. They largely deny that one can apostatize. They largely deny that one can fall from grace. And they deny these matters because they've accepted Calvinism over the Word of God. Point number three, what does the Bible say about departing from the faith? Brethren and friends, the denial that one can apostatize and ultimately lose their salvation is a denial of New Testament doctrine. It is a denial of New Testament teaching. And again, do not take my word for it. Draw on the quotations that I offer you here from the Word of God. Read them in your Bible before you. Hide them in your heart and examine them all in light of what you know others say, but always go back to the Word of God. Point number three, what does the Bible say about departing from the faith? Let me put before you again a sampling of many, many passages, many, many passages that indicate that one can fall from grace, that one can depart from the faith, that one can err from the truth, that one can apostatize. Again, this is a sampling, and there are many, many more. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, dear brethren and friends, the context is the selection of a man to take the place of Judas among the 12 apostles. And here is what is said about the man who will later be appointed, be selected, that man named Matthias. Look at verse 25 of Acts chapter 1, I'm quoting from the King James Version. And watch it now. Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, that he may take his part in this ministry, an apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. One more time, that he may take part of this ministry, an apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. And my Bible, and I put a little paper clip here, I just popped it open. I have circled the word fail in Acts 1 and verse 25. And over in the margin of my little preaching Bible, I've written the word apostasy. Apostasy. Brethren and friends, to deny that Luke is talking about the apostasy of Judas is to deny the truth of the Word of God. If one doesn't accept what is written there, then words mean nothing. For a third and final time, that statement in Acts 1 and verse 25, spoken again about Matthias, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. Indeed, dear brethren and friends. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, another passage, another proof text in point number three, what does the Bible say about departing from the faith? In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, Paul writing to the church of God at Corinth says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." In my Bible, I've circled "lest he fall." Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Was Paul talking about falling off the roof of his house? Was Paul talking about falling off of a ladder? Was Paul talking about falling off the back of a horse? Absolutely not. I don't mean to be silly or comical with that, but to make our point that Paul was talking about falling from the truth, falling away from the grace of God, departing from the faith. Indeed, that's what Paul was talking about there. And to deny that is to deny the clear teaching, the clear words in Scripture. If you would back up in connection with 1 Corinthians 10:12 and take a quick gander at the closing verse of chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Here Paul said, "But I buffet my body." The old King James says, "But I keep under my body." Watch it now. "But I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself also should be a castaway." If you're using something other than the King James, your Bible probably says, rather than castaway, become disqualified. Perhaps even more, a more literal translation. I have circled in my Bible, be a castaway. And I have noted, become disqualified. There are those in the Calvinistic world, those who have bought into Calvinism, who say, well, Paul was not talking about salvation, Brother Mel. He's not talking about the matter of salvation. But I don't believe that at all. I believe he was. Look back up at verse 25, where Paul talks about the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown. That's what we're striving for. Indeed. But that incorruptible crown will not be available to those who depart from the faith, who fall from grace, who apostatize without ever returning to the Lord. And so circle incorruptible crown in verse 25. Circle castaway or become disqualified in verse 27 and draw a line connecting them. Paul is indeed talking about the matter of salvation. And brethren, if I may quickly add, as our time is quickly getting away from us, if Paul was concerned about the very possibility of becoming disqualified in his salvation, then shouldn't we as well? Shouldn't we be concerned about that and do all that we can not to depart from the faith? Surely that is the case. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, a verse you knew I would come to, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul writing to the churches of Galatia, he says, "You are severed from Christ. Christ has become of no effect unto you," is the reading from the King James, more literally translated, "You are severed from Christ. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." I continue to be amazed at the number of people who deny the actual words and truth spoken by Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, right here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. I remind you of the context. I remind you that Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, some of whom, some members had left the Lord, had left the church, had left the law of Christ and gone back under the law of Moses, the old law. And in doing so, they had what? Severed themselves from Christ. They had fallen from grace. I don't know how Paul could have been any clearer than he was. I don't know it at all. And if one denies that, then words mean absolutely nothing. May I quickly add this before we press forward and close out point number 3 of 4 points tonight at about 21 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. You can't be severed from Christ. I'm back in Galatians 5:4. You can't be severed from Christ unless you're connected to Christ. May I say that one more time? You can't be severed from Christ unless you're connected to Christ. Why do you mention that, Brother Mel, you might be asking? Because our denominational friends again and again and again say, well, the people Paul's talking about, really, they really had not believed. They really had not obeyed the faith. They really weren't in Christ. Nonsense. Nonsense. One can't be severed from Christ unless one is connected to Christ. And Paul offers that warning right there. Back to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 for a third and final time. Paul writing to Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." How much clearer could Paul have been to Timothy and by implication to us today? And finally, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Again, just a sampling of many, many verses. The Hebrew writer said, "Take heed, therefore, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart." Are you getting it? "Take heed, therefore, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." I've circled departing from the living God in my Bible, in my preaching Bible that I have open before me right here, right now. I have that circled. Let me ask you this. Can one depart from the living God and live out the remainder of their life in that departed from the living God state and die and go to heaven? Absolutely not. That's not a judgment on my part. That is a conclusion drawn based upon the actuality and the reality of the very word of God. Listen to it one more time. Take heed, therefore, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Why make that statement? Why use that language if it were not possible for one to depart from the living God? If it were not possible for one to apostatize? If it were not possible for one to depart from the faith? If it were not possible for one to err from the truth and ultimately be lost? If it were not possible, then why would the Hebrew writer and why would Paul and why would Luke say what they have in Acts 1:25 and 1 Corinthians 10:12 and 9:27 and Galatians 5:4 and 1 Timothy 4:1 and Hebrews 3 and verse 12? Number four, and finally tonight, at 24 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, knowing that one can depart from the faith, knowing that one can apostatize, knowing that one can fall from grace, and we've demonstrated again from Acts 1:25 and 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 and 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27 and Galatians 5 and verse 4 and 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 and Hebrews 3:12, and we've said nothing about 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 and a host of other passages, but knowing that one can depart from the faith, I want to suggest to you tonight, members of the church tonight to begin with, three things to keep you from falling away. And I hope you'll make a note of these, not because I'm doing the preaching tonight, but because what I am preaching is drawn from the very word of God. Again, may I suggest to you in our closing minutes, three things to do to keep from falling away. And again, this is not one of the three, but you're better off to begin by reading 2 Peter 1:5 through 10. 2 Peter 1:5 through 10. Read that tonight before you pillow your head. Read it tonight before you pray and pillow your head. And then think about these three items. Number one, how can I keep from falling away? How can I keep from departing from the faith? Stay in the Word of God. The establishment of the church is recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Get what follows after that in verse 42, the beginning part of that. And they, the church at Jerusalem, the church of Christ, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Those brethren then, our brethren then, the Lord's people then, they stayed in the word of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, stay in the word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 that was quoted by our brother last night says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, stay in the word of God. If you want to keep from falling away, if you want to keep from departing from the faith, if you want to keep from apostasy, then you need to stay in the Word of God. Number two, quickly, stay in the worship of God. Stay in the worship of God. Back to Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly, your translation may read, and they continued devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread. That is an allusion to the Lord's Supper and to prayers. There are no fewer than three actions of worship of the five that we are to engage in every first day of the week. No fewer than three mentioned right there. Those brethren were staying in the worship of God. 18 chapters later in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, there Luke said it upon the first day of the week. What? And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. Two actions of worship are mentioned right there. Those brethren, on the first day of the week, in the city of Troas, with Paul and others of his companions present, they were what? They were staying in the worship of God. And finally, number three, stay in the way of God. If you want to keep from falling away, stay in the Word of God, number one. Stay in the worship of God, number two. And stay in the way of God, number three. It was our Lord who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. If he is the way, and he is, then we want to stay in his way. Not my will, but thine be done, as our Lord prayed in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, our Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Stay in the way of God. And finally, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul wrote to the church of God at Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Are you getting it? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul was calling on those brethren then, and I call on you now as brethren to stay in the way of God. If you are a member of the Church of Christ, and so many of you calling in tonight are, and you have not stayed in the Word of God, in the worship of God, or the way of God, as Brother Anthony mentioned earlier in our service, I want to implore you to pray to God the Father in the name of His Son and beg His forgiveness. And then get back in the Word of God, get back in the worship of God, and get back in the way of God. And those tonight who have called in perhaps from all over this great country, who are not yet members of the Church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ, the church that you read about on the pages of the New Testament, I beg you to be like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Get into the Word of God. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8, but he didn't understand everything that was written. And so he called upon someone else. I don't say that to insult you, but if you're studying the Word and you have a bit of misunderstanding, then I plead with you, my friend. I plead with you. Check out the Church of Christ in your community, in your town. Go to one of the worship services. Contact a preacher. Contact a member. And let them say to you, as Philip said to the Ethiopian, understandest thou what thou readest? And he responded, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. And he goes on from there. And then maybe you, like the Ethiopian, will say, see, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? And you'll be told by a faithful member of the Lord's church, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And then we'll call upon you to make that good, great, and bold confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And when you've made that confession, we will be honored and pleased to immerse you in water for the full forgiveness of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. And you can work and worship with the Lord's people in your community until you die or until the Lord returns, whichever comes first. We love and appreciate you. Goodbye and good luck to you all. I now turn the service back over to Brother Tommy and Brother Anthony.
Thank you, Brother Fitzgerald. We really appreciate you so very much. I was impressed the first time I worked with you in the seminar in Adamsville, Alabama. Your wealth of knowledge of the scriptures is impressive, but you brought it down to we can get it to understand what we wanted our audience to understand tonight. And that is, there is such a thing as leaving, departing from the faith. Leaving the scripture, my friends, not doing what the Bible says, or doing it, knowing it and doing it, or knowing it and leaving it, knowing it and not doing it, or knowing it and then leaving it is a departure. And many have done that. What about your soul? When are you going to think about that? Come back to the Bible. What are we doing this month? What does the Bible say? That's the faith right there. If the Bible said it, you should do it. So if you want to be baptized, you're doing it because God commanded it. Jesus commanded baptism. If you want to be baptized tonight, get back with the person who put you on the call. Tell them you want to be baptized. You want to be a part of the faith, the true church, in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that person who invited you wanted you to hear this as well. They're members of the Church of Christ. We want our friends, family, loved ones to know that we believe that the Bible has the right answers. The right answer that every man and woman must know before they die. It's in this book called the Bible. If you want to study it with us, if you say, well, I heard you. I heard Bert Trail, but I want to hear him again. Go to our website, hollahcoc.net. It's recorded. It'll be on. It's a very clear recording. and you'll be able to hear it tonight. You can slow it down, take notes, restudy it for yourself, or we will allow you to email us, and we will answer any questions you have. If you have questions, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you desire to talk to the preachers that we've had on directly, mail me. I'm sure I'll be happy to speak with you regarding the questions you may have. We want to do everything we can to help you. So email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We'll make all arrangements for you to be baptized or to get a preacher in your area, or any of our speakers can answer these questions that you have. Go to our website. You can download the flyer. You can download the recorded message and listen to it again. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And then everything is there. We are so thankful. We had a great week this week, and we're so thankful for every person who's listening, everyone who's joined us. We've had some large calls all week, and this continues to be outstanding, and really we did not expect this type of results we're getting, but we're getting results that we know God is pleased with, which tells us God is blessing our effort. Let's pray to him now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for this week. Thank you for the speakers of all this week and all the time we've been doing this meeting. Thank you for Brother Mill tonight for closing us out with this subject. Very important one that we all need to know. Departed from your truth. Departed from your faith. The faith. Your word. And Lord, we pray for our listening audience. We pray for them, especially for the members of Church Christ who may have left this truth, that they come home. And they'll come back to it and repent. And restore. We pray for the visitors who are not on the call, who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they understand we're speaking the truth in love, and they too will obey it and trust your word to be accurate and true. And don't add to it or take from it, just simply do what it says. We pray for our visitors. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you for you're so loving the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And we thank him for giving his life. It was him who said, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And we're thankful that he did that and shedded that blood and washed our sins away in baptism and purchased the church with his precious blood. His church, the Church of Christ. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God for a great week, you all. We had a great close tonight. I pray everyone can have a good night's rest. Members of the church, prepare your minds for Sunday's worship, the first day of the week. And then join us Monday night. Join us Monday night for week 4 of our nationwide gospel meeting call. Week 4 is going to be a great week. And we have a lot of great things going on with that. And we are so thankful to have each and every person on the call. So join us next week. Here's some more messages from the Word of God. To our visitors, thank you for allowing us to come into your home for 30 minutes with a word from the Lord. I pray you have a good night and rest. Sleep peacefully.